Forgot my coffee. I wanted to thank those who participated in my Amen Corner last week. More than one person said to me after service last week, "Bob, we think you might have a little Baptist in you." And I think that was a compliment. I think it was. If it wasn't, there's a Baptist church right down the street. So if I get carried away, we can ship me off down there. I wanted to tell you something funny that happened to the Garveys this week. We had a visitor. So Jack gets home from school on Tuesday afternoon, and he gets himself a snack, and he turns on the TV. And if Jack was telling this story, he would say he got home and started doing his homework. But we know that's not what he does. So he's getting a snack, and he's watching TV, and he hears something upstairs, something kind of scurrying around. And so he goes upstairs, and a squirrel has found its way into our home. And now, if you know Jack, Jack is a strong, brave young man. But apparently, squirrels are not his thing. Because he went scurrying back downstairs and he barricaded himself in our playroom. Now, then Jack gets a bright idea. We were actually dog sitting for my sister-in-law. And so we have her dog, Lily. We have our dog, Cooper. And Jack gets the idea that he's going to let the dogs loose so they can go get the squirrel. And I verified this with my wife during a contemporary service. He left the door open for the squirrel to get out, and he thought the dogs would chase the squirrel out, but I guess he didn't tell the squirrel that. So he barricades himself in our playroom, and he sends a message to Kim, squirrel, and then he proceeds to play video games, right, while the squirrels and the dog duke it out. So one, the squirrel doesn't know how to get out. Problem one. Two, apparently our dog, Cooper, who's a Labradoodle, has some hunting dog in him because he cornered the squirrel and he chomped on him. And he bit him hard enough that he drew blood. So now we have a crazed squirrel running around our house, bleeding everywhere. Kim comes home, and her mom and dad, Ned and Shirley, come over to help, and they trap the squirrel in our couch. Burrows into the, not the cushions, right, but part of the couch. And so they take the couch outside, and the squirrel kind of gets out and limps away. And the best part of the story is everything was completely cleaned up by the time I got home. So I didn't have to worry about it. I just laughed and laughed at this story. But I got to thinking about Sweet Jack, who's barricaded in the playroom while the dogs battled the squirrel. And I thought, how many times have I distracted myself instead of taking care of the problem? Have you ever done that? And I'll be honest, I'll admit, when I was younger, when things were tough, I would think, I'll just go get a case of beer and pretend that my problems don't exist. Sometimes the problems were so big that they required two cases of beer. Have you ever done that? No. But have you ever distracted yourself instead of taking care of the problems? Maybe it's food, right? Maybe it's a cigarette. Maybe it's shopping, right? And so I thought, boy, I wonder, one, did Jack get that quality from me? And I thought, maybe God sent the squirrel to us to teach us that lesson. Take care of your problems. And I thought, maybe the squirrel was an angel sent to us to teach us that lesson. And then I immediately got worried because I thought, Cooper took a chomp out of that angel's butt, and we're going to be in trouble. Anyways, that's our heavenly squirrel attack story. Last week, we started off our What's Your Story? Sorry about that. I'm going to lower this a little bit. We started off our sermon series with 1 Peter chapter 1. And we learned how to tell a better story. Peter starts his letter with, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And for us, understanding that we are exiles in this land. We're foreigners, we're strangers, we're sojourners in a land, and it's temporary, helps us tell a better story. Because if the world seems upside down to you, if the world doesn't make sense to you, that's okay. This is not our permanent home. The other thing that we learned was in verse 3, Peter writes, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And we learned, in order to tell a better story, we need to stop basing our stories on our experiences and start basing them on the expectations of God's promises. For he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's good news. Today we're going to ask a slightly different question. And we're going to ask, what's her story? And I'm talking specifically about the woman at the well. We're introduced to this woman in John chapter 4, verse 5 says, Jesus came to the town called Sychar. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, who was tired from a long trip, sat down beside the well. It was about noon, and a Samaritan woman came to the well to get water. So what is her story? And what can we learn from her to help us tell a better story? Well, what do we know about her? We don't know a whole lot. We know that she was a Samaritan. We know that she's had a hard life. When Jesus asks her to go get her husband, she says, "I have no husband." And Jesus says, "You are right to say you have no husband. That's because although you have had five husbands, the man you live with now is not your husband." Now, I have to tell you, I've heard sermons and preachers before paint this woman as immoral, as a woman of questionable character. Yet, I don't think we have enough evidence to support that. Maybe all of her husbands died. Back in Jesus' time, disease was much more prevalent, warfare was much more prevalent. It is not too far of a stretch that her five previous husbands had died. Maybe she got divorced five times, which I think would be much harder. Women back then didn't have a voice. They didn't have a say. So it would have been the husband who was making the decision to divorce. So it's possible that this woman had been rejected five times. It's possible this woman had been kicked out of her home five times. Again, we don't know, but I think we're safe in saying that she's had a hard life. Okay, so she's a Samaritan who's had a hard life. We can probably relate. Anybody here have an easy life? Let the record show, nobody raised their hand. In many ways, though, in most ways, there was nothing remarkable about this woman, but then Jesus shows up and everything changes. And suddenly the story of her life has significance. She's a Samaritan. That's important because the Jews did not talk to the Samaritans. They hated the Samaritans, but not Jesus. Jesus talked to them. Jesus talked to her. Do you know that there is no one beyond the reach of God's love? Yet there are some people in this world who think that their circumstances and their actions have push them away from God, push them away from His reach. We have to tell them that's not true. Their story is not done yet. How do we know that? Because Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman. Jesus knows this woman's past. He knows she's had a hard life, and while others may have mocked her or scorned her or ridiculed her, Jesus uses her past to tell a better story. Check this out. John 4, verses 28 through 30. Say, the woman left her water jar and went back to town. She told people there, a man told me everything I have ever done. Come see him. Maybe he is the Messiah. So the people left the town and went to see Jesus. So her past has come up. A man told me everything I have ever done. How would you feel if you met a man and he told you everything you have ever done? I don't think I would enjoy that. But it gets better. When the townspeople come to see Jesus, verse 39 says, many of the Samaritan people in that town believed in Jesus. They believed because of what the woman had told them about him. She had told them, he told me everything I have ever done. So they believed in Jesus because of her past, not in spite of it. Okay, so now it's starting to come together. The woman at the well, her story really didn't make sense. It was nothing special until it was combined with God's story. Our stories will not make any sense until they are combined with God's story. Do you see all the details of her story suddenly become significant? Did you know, this is my favorite thing about this story. Did you know that the woman at the well had the longest recorded one-on-one conversation with Jesus in the entire New Testament? This woman who had been rejected 5 times, married 5 times. She's living with another man. She's a Samaritan. Every black mark that you could think to put on somebody back in those days, she had it. And Jesus has the longest conversation with her of anybody. And when you see your story as part of God's story, everything changes. Where there was struggle, you'll see strengthening. Where there was things that caused doubt, you'll start to see things that created faith. Where there was death, you'll see life. Where there was despair, you'll see hope. That's good news. Yet here's the problem. Here's the problem. With the stories that we tell, in our stories, we're the hero. And this is the struggle so many of us face. We are at the center of our stories. We are the main characters. We are the superstars. We are under the spotlight. And that's the reason they don't make any sense. That's the reason the challenges and the hardships and the battles that we've had in our life so often end in brokenness, in confusion, in despair. In our stories, hope dies. You see, we can't see the whole picture. We don't know how all the parts fit together, so we get discouraged. We get depressed. In our stories, God's unlimited grace has limits. We don't know how we can be expected to keep forgiving people that hurt us over and over again. In our stories, God's never-ending love eventually ends because we don't love like God loves. We love in a selfish way. We love in a way that we expect something from others. And when we don't get it, the love ends. But when you realize that our stories are not about us, they are about God and they are about Jesus, everything changes. Amen? Now I need my amen corner. Because in God's story, hope never dies. In God's story, grace stays unlimited, and it keeps coming, and it keeps coming, and it keeps coming. In God's story, never-ending love keeps washing over us again and again and again. In God's story, a Savior comes down to earth. He lives with us. He feels what we feel. John 4, verse 6, I'll read this again. Jesus was tired from his long trip, so he sat down beside the well. The Samaritan woman comes up to him and he says, "Please give me a drink of water." What kind of God comes down to earth and puts on our shoes? Who walks with us? Who feels tired? Who feels thirsty? Who feels our pain? He is Emmanuel, God with us. What a story. And like the woman at the well, whose story is his story, our story can be his story. And we're not the main character, but we don't have to be. His story is love. His story is grace. His story is mercy. And when we see how our story connects with his story, everything changes. Will today be the day you begin to tell a better story? Will you tell his story? I want to close with this thought. I think this will be helpful to all of us. You know how I can tell if I'm telling my story instead of God's story? If I look back on my past and I feel embarrassed, or I feel guilty, or I feel ashamed of the things that I've done, then I know I'm telling my story. If there's regret and sadness and pain, I'm telling my story because I'm focusing on me. But if I look back on my past and the exact same experiences, the exact same decisions, and I feel forgiveness, and I feel grace, and I feel mercy, and I feel love, and I feel joy, that's his story. That's God's story. That's Jesus' story, and that's the story that I want to tell. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for including us in your story. Help us focus on you, your Son Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Help us focus on your story, our small part in it, because it is a glorious story. It is a life-giving story. Help us take the focus off of us, God, and put it on you. Help us to tell the story of living a life dedicated to you, a life full of joy and happiness and mercy and forgiveness. Help us today to not only tell your story, but to live your story. We lift our lives, we lift our prayers, we lift this entire body of Christ up to you through Jesus. Amen.